Hey, everybody. Drew Remenda here. You're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA.
Thank you very much, Drew Remenda. I won't say he was rooting for the Sharks tonight, but a little bit of him was saying, yeah, way to go, Banker. Kevin LeBanc, have yourself a game. 3 goals on 3 shots. What a night for the Banker. He deposits his first NHL hat trick in a 5-2 Sharks win over the Edmonton Oilers on Hockey Day in Canada. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. We do this after every game, so do us a favor. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. But of course, right now, we thank over the 1,150 subscribers in Teal Town, USA. We appreciate that. But also, of course, check us out in the chat. Join us with multiple Sharks fans in the chat on the page or the app. Also, add us at Teal Town, USA. Of course, follow us on the social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the YouTube channel. With me tonight, my good friend, Mr. AJ Strong.
What's up?
Kevin LeBanc, that's what's up. And returning from beautiful, beautiful Ontario, Canada, it is the angry Canadian robot himself, Mr. Ian Reed. Ian, good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, it's good to be on. It's not beautiful. It's cold and miserable and covered in snow. It's awful.
That sounds like a dream to me. So that's no. If you have a pond in outside or in the backyard, I will be over there with my skates.
No, unfortunately not. There's too much snow in the backyard. And it's just been weird. The weather's been weird. We had rain and then it's cold and it rains and it's cold and it's a bad combination. So there's a skating rink pretty much everywhere else other than my backyard.
All right. Well, the Sharks head into this game again without Erik Karlsson. Will he show up in Vancouver? Remains to be seen. But the Sharks get at it, hoping to go for 5 in a row in Edmonton. So as they say, let's do this.
How you gonna do that hockey?
Let's do that hockey, right? Thank you very much.
Saying hockey, let's do that hockey.
There we go. Thank you, AJ. I should have said you better on that one. All right. 4:53 into the game. Melker Karlsson goes down early on. He got a little cross-checked. He got hit into the boards, mainly from Edmonton defenseman Kevin Gravel. Looks like a separated shoulder. We'll call it the upper body injury. But AJ, how did that look to you?
I thought it was a fine. It was a good hockey hit. You know, I'm not looking for suspension or anything like that. You know, every once in a while, something weird happens later in the game. Who was it? Somebody took. Was it Larson? Somebody took Ratty took that shot from Heed, but I think it was Larson took. He got Hurdle's skate into his rib cage when he was falling down. So, you know, weird things happen. But yeah, I don't have a problem with that. If anything. I'm thinking Lukáš Radil is probably going, hey, guess who might make it back into the lineup?
Right. So, but we hope Melker Karlsson's okay. He didn't make a return in this game. Radil has got to be like, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, but, you know, I'm sure he'll be day-to-day and he'll be on the road trip and he'll be ready to come back anytime, according to Peter DeBoer. His shoulder's probably separated.
Hashtag day-to-day.
Yeah. Oh, excellent point, Ian. But the Sharks would persevere and get on the board first. Kevin LeBanc deposits his first of the night into the net, his 7th of the season from Joe Thornton and Marcus Sorensen to make it 1-0. Ian LeBanker, starting to get a little hot.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I've always been a pretty ardent Kevin LeBanc defender. I know a lot of people like immediately tweeting, like, you know, increasing his trade value and stuff, but I, kind of terrifies me, honestly, because I look at Kevin LeBanc's definitely got his problems on the defensive side of the puck, but on the offensive side of the puck, like the talent's there, and it's obvious to anyone. It should be obvious to anyone that watches them. And the idea that he could go somewhere, I mean, obviously I think Sharks fans would be, you know, would want a guy like Panarin, but you know, the idea of losing Kevin LeBanc for a rental and then having, you know, another rental to go along with the, you know, that question mark of will Erik Karlsson be back? I'm not, you know, it better be a home run. If you're going to move Kevin LeBanc, it better be a home run, in my opinion.
You're muted. Can someone tell him when mute is in that was activated and when it isn't?
I was saying I completely agree with you, Ian, on that one. then nearly 3 minutes, just a scotch under 3 minutes later, Evander Kane gets his 24th of the year from Donskoy and Hurdle. AJ, that line is really clicking lately. And it's, and like I said last show, it's almost like Kane and Hurdle kind of have like a little internal battle between each other saying, well, you got your 24th. Well, I'm going to get my 24th.
Well, they're both badass power forwards. Hurdle finally thriving at the center position, and maybe that's because he's got some pretty solid talent with him. That's beautiful. But for me, you got to give it up for Donskoy finding Kane streaking in on the back door for just a tap-in. I wish the guys would look for that play a little more often. But the whole thing, I believe, started out with a breakout from Burns to Hurdle, then to Donskoy, and just the transition – on that goal was boy, Edmonton, you just I feel so bad for Edmonton. I really do. I did not expect this from Edmonton this season.
I think we were the last two seasons they were like, oh, this is what the year they'll turn it around, and where the heck did it go? I mean, and granted, you can't let McDavid do it by himself, but I digress. Later
it's hard because, too, when you look at the defensive, it's like the injuries on the blue line they've suffered, too, is really, you know, that's really been a hindrance for them. But the problem is to try and compensate for that, they've, you know, gutted the depth of the team. And without depth, you can't, it's not basketball. Connor McDavid's not going to win you a title on his own.
No, and they expected the support staff to help him out a little bit. And yes, Drysdale's been on a run lately, but I mean, it can't be just a one or two person show. Otherwise, they're going to crack down on them easily. Speaking of Drysdale, he was a little unhappy with Barclay Goodrow. They each get coincidental minors at 14:33. Goodrow kind of being a little bit of a pest here, which is always nice to see.
I don't know. Goody some days, I'm kind of like, yeah, you kind of got a little bit of a Ryan Clough thing going on, you know, minus the scoring and everything. But, you know, but sometimes he border, I don't know. Sometimes it's borderline Torres, but, you know, you got to bring something to the party. It's clearly not scoring, so you better be one hell of a, you know, you better be a real pain in the ass to play against. But I also have to shout out, Edmonton got a lot of chances in the first period, just a ton of bad puck luck. There was some easy shots that I think that they just missed. There's a couple times they just heeled a puck or they just flat out whiffed on it. Just bad, a lot of bad luck in the first. This game could have, Edmonton could have been tied 2-2 after one. They could have been up 3-2 after one. So just a lot of bad puck luck. But then again, they do lead the league in losses at home this season. So it's like that, you've heard of that. So Sharks, you know, this is so oil.
And the funny thing is after one period of play, Sharks outshot them 12-5. But yeah, AJ, they looked like they had more scoring chances than anything else.
But the Sharks owned them in the circle. I mean, 64-36 to end the first period.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what, like AJ says, though. I mean, like, there was a lot of prime opportunities, and you got guys over there. I mean, you've lost how many in a row? You've allowed 30-something goals in your last four games, I mean, sticks are probably in grip pretty tight. So you kind of expect that thing. But yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I thought Dell had a good game, but there was a couple of chances there. And I'm not necessarily saying it was Dell's fault that those chances were there. But yeah, I mean, this game could have started off completely different than what we got.
Well, I look forward to seeing what Koskinen does in the next game, because if you go back two games ago, Koskinen gets yanked in favor of Talbot. Then Talbot wins versus Minnesota last game. So, of course, they start him tonight, and then this happens. So we'll see you next game, Koskinen.
For pause, why did they put Talbot in net? Why they are suffering? Because you don't want to put your future goalie in net while your defense is so terrible.
Hear, hear.
Or do you think they're showcasing Talbot?
Oh, I think Talbot's died. I think Talbot's gone. Whether he gets traded or, you know, they let him walk via free agency. I mean, that Koskinen deal, basically they've made their bed now. Or Trelly right. made his bed for them before they left. That's tough.
I think it pretty much comes down to, you know, like April 7th. It's like, who's calling the Uber? Talbot or Chiarelli?
Yeah.
Or Hitchcock, for that matter. It's Chief Cropper in the chat. Tomorrow's headline, Oilers own Sharks in a 5-2 loss.
what is ESPN doing this again? McDavid dominates Sharks with one shot on goal, that type of a thing?
Yeah. McDavid dominates Sharks and 7-2 loss.
Oh, yeah. The dominates. I forgot about that part.
Al Martin, so you're telling me the team that is wearing Tide detergent is the worst in the league? You don't say. Oh boy.
Yeah, did somebody like fill their purple Gatorade bottles with Tide Pods or something?
Oh man.
Moving on to the second.
Yeah, all right.
248, Zach Cassian takes a tripping call on Evander Kane in the neutral zone. That sets it a power play. And then the guy infamously known for being traded for Taylor Hall, Adam Larson takes a puck over glass penalty at 4:26, setting up a brief 5-on-3. Nothing came out of the 5-on-3. However, the Sharks do get a power play goal thanks to the banker, his 8th of the season, his 2nd of the game from Meyer and Kane at 6:10. Again, AJ, that's your boy you're rocking the jersey behind you tonight. But Banker, his 2nd one on the night,
dude, and that was top shelf. And that you can just see the confidence starting to come along. Because granted, the guy has not had a strong season this year. He's been moved, tried on different lines, hasn't found chemistry with anybody. And it seems like it's finally starting to happen. However, as that happened, you're not seeing as much from Sorensen lately. It makes you wonder, like, is Jumbo only good enough to make one guy on his line better at a time? Or is it... But it's nice to see this coming along. I can't remember if it was this goal. It was one of the 3 goals that I swear when LeBanc was shooting it, there was a part of me that goes, okay, who was closest to the net? Because I wonder if he was trying to pass it and he just missed.
I thought it was the first one.
Because that one was trying to put it on net. It was going through bodies, and you know,
I thought it deflected off of that one. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
So,
moving onward, 9:06, Oscar Klefbom gets called for interference by playing footsies with Jonas Donskoy. Nothing came out of that because at 10:28, Timo gets a timely tripping call. So Timo time in the penalty box.
Both those calls were terrible.
Yeah, they were a little iffy in my mind. I thought that Klefbom was like, really? I thought that was more incidental contact than anything else.
They're both brutal calls, and the Timo call reeked of a makeup call. And it was weird because they had really put their whistles in their pockets for most of the game up till that point. Until, you know, obviously except for like the puck over glass, which they have to call. But yeah, there were some really brutal calls in this game.
Dude, there was a puck over glass tonight that might that could be a highlight reel.
That shouldn't even be a penalty, in my opinion.
What if you go 200 feet over glass?
Yeah. If you put it over the glass in the opposing team's end, I think they should let that one slide. But what do I know?
Just call it icing and be done with it.
Right.
That Meyer penalty eventually leads to a power play goal by Ryan Nugent Hopkins. His 17th from Chiasson at 12 minutes. They originally called it Nurse, but that's Nugent Hopkins' third goal in the last 16 games, according to what I have written down here. Nuge, what happened? You know,
it's no depth again, right? Like, it goes back to having no depth. You put, you know, you have Drysdale bouncing between his own line and playing on McDavid's wing, and you know, when you're calling. Like when Ty Ratty went down, they're like, oh, that's one of their top. Like, when you're calling Ty Ratty one of your top players, man, you got problems. Problems, okay? That's me like, well, and, you know, Barclay Goodrow goes down, and that's one of the Sharks' top players. Like, if we're ever saying that, if that sentence is ever said, the Sharks are in a bad way, and the Oilers are in a bad way. And I, you know, Nugent Hopkins, he's good, but I think, like, you know, it's just that team is so, the depth on that team is so ridiculous, ridiculously bad. I mean, you look at their last game, they had like $8 million worth in cap space not playing. Like, it's brutal.
And you think, what in the world happened to this team? Because this, I mean, what was it? Going into the beginning of last year, I think they were like the pick to come out of the West for the Stanley Cup. And then they just lay a big fat egg last year. Then they start off horrible. And yeah, they had that little after effect when you fire the coach, which they just conveniently fire, you know, Todd in San Jose.
You know, like I said a while back, maybe McClellan wasn't the problem.
Well, right? Peter Shirelli was the problem. I mean, I think there's definitely issues Todd McClellan has. He had the same issues when he was here. He just had less to work with there, and consistently less when you consider what Peter Shirelli gave him to work with.
Either way, moving on to the third.
Moving on to the third, and this is when, you know, Kevin LeBanc shined. When 1 minute, 36 seconds in, LeBanc gets his hat trick goal, his ninth on this play. Thornton and Dillon with the assist. Joe Thornton ties Gordie Howe, ninth on all time. Who? Gordie Howe.
Was he on the top 100 players of all time?
Oh, boy. Gordie was. But
I think he was 100. It was 101, wasn't he?
No, I was referring to Gordie Howe. But
yeah, that's exactly. Wasn't he 101?
Yeah, 101. No, probably top 20 or something crazy. Yeah.
He goes number 9 on the all-time assist list at 1,049. Or wait, no, that's, wow, my numbers are mixed up here. Anyways, Gordie Howe is now tied with Jumbo Joe Thornton. But Kevin LeBanc, your hat trick. Ian, your thoughts?
Hell of a goal. Just a good game by him tonight. You know, I really like, I've always been a big advocate for Kevin LeBanc to be, you know, the distribution guy on a power play unit. But he, like, that power play unit with him on it looked, that second power play unit looked really good with him on it. And, you know, it's nice to be able to be the trigger at some points too. But I think that, you know, I wish they'd give him more opportunity to be, you know, effective on the offensive side of the puck. Like, but instead, Peter DeBoer, for some reason, you know, wants him to be, you know, this defensive player that he's not. And I think that's just silly. Use your players to their strengths and try to shield them from the weaknesses. Don't just bludgeon them over the head with their weaknesses and keep putting them in positions to fail. But yeah, no, I mean, Kevin LeBanc, hell of a game tonight for him, for sure.
Lance Fletcher in the chat, Banker's shot when it's on is the best in the Sharks, in my opinion. He's got a great shot, but I notice he's got the trend now to do the drop pass, you know, the bank, the drop pass to the point now on the power play, which can be great. It could be a nightmare. We've seen that earlier in the year. But kudos to Kevin LeBanc tonight. Great night all around for him. He certainly needed it.
Three shots on goal, all three went in. Yeah, that's probably a pretty good night. But
you sleep with that stick, right?
Oh man. Yeah, exactly. You make sure nobody gets a hold of that. But it all started with a great transition. Dylan picking off right, inside the defensive zone, feeds up to Thornton. And then you have Sorensen kind of running a little bit of a screen in front of Talbot. And LeBanc just found a perfect shot. So, I keep freezing up this time. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Go figure, right? Dave B. Pilot, good evening to you, sir. LeBanc is due for 100% shooting percentage in a game, as unlucky as he's been. Him and Timo Meier. I mean, my gosh, Timo even had a goalpost tonight. And I forget who said it, but I think it was our good friend Drew Weber who said on Twitter, Timo should be eyeing a 30-goal season and weren't for his puck luck right now.
Well, he started off so, pretty hot. Well, it was Kane that started off super hot. But yeah. I remember a few games in, then Timo Meier started on a roll, and then he went on like 17 games with nothing. And I don't know if Hurdle not being on his line anymore has much to do with it. But, Meyer's kind of gone a little cold. But Hurdle's line, Hurdle and Kane have picked up that slack in a huge way. So I think Meyer's gonna find it. Couture had points, had 33 points in 32 games against the Oilers and did not make the score sheet tonight. So it's, as long as it stays balanced and you're not a team like Edmonton where you're relying on one line to do all the work, Calgary, for all the success they're having, Ian, isn't a lot of it, coming from, kind of like the same four guys? You've got Gaudreau, you got Giordano,
So that's a fantastic question. I feel like they're a little more, obviously they're big guys that have been their big guys. I have to test this though, because now I'm kind of curious, because I thought they were a little more distributing, but I would, those guys are money though. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. Well, anyway, speaking of Hurdle, he would get one 3 minutes later, unassisted. God, I love Hurdle. Just takes it all the way to the net. And he's like, it was almost like he was kind of, hey, does somebody want this? And then he's like, oh, maybe the goalie would like it. Jeremy, it was very, very last second play. But another great shot goes 5-hole on Talbot. And you could see Talbot's reaction. The head just hung. And it seems like the only, I'm not even sure. It's like Hunter, the mascot, is the only one who wants to be in Edmonton right now. Everybody else is like, get us the hell out of it. Like they're begging for a road trip just to get out of Edmonton at this point.
Well, Jamie Baker said on the telecast tonight, they were all waiting for the 50-50 winning number. And then once that unveiled, then they're like, pew, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But Hurdle's like, oh, okay, Kane, you got your 24th of the season. All right, well then I'm gonna get the 25th before the game is over.
Right.
And it's funny because when he scored that goal, I was thinking, because there's a couple times where he went in, we saw him get kind of run over by Larson there too, just trying to do just one too many dangles with the puck. And I was thinking, like, I was just about to hype it in, like, man, stop being so pretty and just put the puck in the net. So I had to stop that tweet. Very quickly.
Funny enough, too, this in my notes, second career 2-goal game for LeBanc with Edmonton. So figure that out. But possibly my favorite non-scoring play tonight is, like I mentioned earlier, Draisaitl with the delay of game at 7:51, a 200-foot delay of game that if the Nets weren't there, might have had a shot to make it to the second deck.
Right, he was testing out the Nets for their arena football team or something.
That was you talk about a frustration penalty. Draisaitl was just, oh my god, just like, I'm tired of being the only one with talent on this team. Oh yeah, except for McDavid. But other than that,
And he says, thank you for that big deal, Connor, because it set up my big deal. But yeah, you know, Draisaitl had a rough night tonight. I mean, two penalties, one hit, no shots on goal, played nearly 19 minutes and was 46% in the faceoff circle. Not fun.
Yeah. It's
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I just feel bad. Like I just feel bad for that team because it's just such a bloody mess. And I don't know how they need a quick solution. They can't start over again from scratch with and waste McDavid's prime. But at the same time, I don't know what the quick answer is. Like, I don't want to be the next GM of the Edmonton Oilers because I do not know how you fix that with any speed.
Right, you're gonna have to trade maybe one of your centers to get something in return, maybe to build it, and for that matter, who knows, if they keep tanking, they might just luck themselves into another number one overall pick and get Hughes.
What's Brian Burke up to right now?
I don't think Brian Burke wants anything to do with that mess either.
Right. And he's fixed a lot of those messes in the past.
I don't know where he'd want it. Yeah, I wish I usually consider myself a pretty smart hockey guy, and when it comes to the Oilers, like, I don't even know where you start.
Well, it's so funny that I'm seeing it more and more on Twitter. It's just kind of like, trade McDavid for just so much, you know, to a team that has, you know, a pretty well-stocked pipeline. And, you know, but what team is going to sit there and go, okay, we've got a well-stocked pipeline and a superstar could be a huge difference. Like, what's a team that doesn't have like a huge superstar? Like what? Like Minnesota? Dallas?
Dallas has a couple.
Who do they have? What, Sagan?
Sagan, Jamie Benn.
Yeah,
Radulov is a second tier star. Radulov has the potential to be better than he is. Yeah.
Okay, but I wonder what Dallas's pipeline is, because remember, we're also talking about Sagan and Ben, you know, two guys that got called the hell out. Oh, I forgot about Heiskanen. Yeah, you're not moving Heiskanen, but no. But you know, could you see McDavid for, well, Ben and Sagan got to be too old, right? But for a deal like that. But what's Dallas's pipeline like? What's their picks at? You know, like,
yeah,
that's one kind of thing you could look for.
Well, not to jump in, AJ, sorry about that, but Connor McDavid is signed through 2026. He doesn't have a no move clause until the beginning of the 2022 season.
Because he's too young to get one until then.
Right.
Can't wait. I'm going to bet money that he gets moved before that kicks in.
And And he has a $12.5 million cap hit. That one's the key one, I think, in regards to who can take him.
But what's the cap at the you know, just before he hits that, before that no move clause kicks in, you know?
Very true. Very true.
Just saying.
It's just hard because, like, with a player like McDavid, like, you just, I mean, I know anyone can get traded. I mean, this is the same team that traded Gretzky, so anything's possible, but I just...
Wouldn't it be great if they traded McDavid to LA?
No, it would not.
Oh, no, it would not.
McDavid to LA. Oh, my God.
That would be so funny. But anyway.
No, it wouldn't.
It'd be awful.
I'd trade him to Anaheim.
Boy, howdy. Where their beer is more expensive than the tickets.
I don't know.
Let's finish up the recap of this one. 14:03, Zach Kassian gets his eighth of the season in garbage time from Larson to make it 5-2. And then Milan Lucic needed to make sure he got in onto the score sheet tonight. And I say score sheet by meaning he scored a penalty and, I don't know, maybe a fine for an elbow to the head, since Radim Šimek did not return to this game and went down into the dressing room before this game was finished.
I think Šimek could have come back.
Day to day to day to day to day.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, I think Schmidt could have come back, and you know, I don't see. Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah,
we hope Schmidt will be okay. So the Sharks win 5-2. It's their fifth straight win. Jumbo ties Gordy on ninth all time on the assist list. Kevin LeBanc is the youngest Shark to score a hat trick since Marco Sturm did it in December of 1998. Ironically, in Edmonton, the Oilers are 1-5-2 in their last eight. Not fun, but EK9, 13 goals. He tied with Victor Arvidsson of Nashville with 13 goals for the calendar year lead. Hurdle is tied third with 11 with like the likes of Sagan, among others. I think like Matt Duchene as well. So a good night all around for the Sharks, and for the moment are tied for the Pacific Division lead.
See, it's been kind of interesting to see how this season has progressed, especially when you see that Hurdle was moved off the Couture line, because for the longest time, the Sharks, it was the top line, let's be honest, was Couture with Hurdle and Meyer. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of just looking at what is happening. It's kind of, I don't know, line 1A, 1B between Couture's line and Hurdle's line with the way the production is happening. I mean, Hurdle and Kane have just been killing it as of late. So I don't know, 1A, 1B, or I go back to the whole idea of the Thornton line, the Couture line, the Hurdle line. It's all just reminiscent of Vegas last year, where you don't have a solid number one line, you've got three number two lines.
Yeah, I could get on board with that, I think, for sure. I think the big surprise, I think, is just the fact that Hurl survived at center and thrived. I mean, how many times have we on this show written off Hurdle as a center? Mm-hmm. I know I've done it quite a few times. So I think that, I guess credit for Doug Wilson for, cause he's always maintained that, as far as they're concerned, Tomas Hurdle's the center, and kudos to him. Looks like he was right after all.
Yeah. I guess just had to get the right wingers playing with him.
Right.
Never forget T.G. Gagliardi and James Shepherd. I have to say. Oh, sorry about that. Yes, the Sharks are at 73 points, tied with the division lead. So, AJ, is it time?
Yeah. Go Vancouver! Go Vancouver! No, is that what we're talking about?
We can go into the wraparound.
Oh, man. All right. Hold on. You know what? I don't even know if I have that on here anymore.
Oh, no.
I think I might have pulled it off because I was adding a whole bunch of other stuff. All right. I'll give you yours.
All right. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Oh.
I have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
It is wraparound. And since AJ said it, we will start with that one. That one's currently in progress. The Flames and Vancouver are tied up at one.
Okay, if we could start getting some super chats in here right now, I'd really appreciate it.
No. Horvat with his 19th. That was 44 seconds into the game. Lindholm, his 24th at 6:39, tied it for the Flames in that one. Also currently going on, Blue Jackets and Golden Knights, 1-1. Anderson, his 19th for the Neon Buggers. Nate Schmidt, his 5th for the Knights. All right, games that have been final for a while. Patrice Bergeron gets the overtime game winner on the power play in overtime to give the Bruins a 5-4 win over the LA Kings. The Kings do pick up a point as they try to somehow stay in this Western Conference race.
Dude, those sons of bitches are just scraping by. They keep on picking up single points here and there. It's making me nervous, man.
23-27-5, and they're hanging in it. And well, so are the Buff.
I was going to say, it's making me nervous because other teams in the Pacific, like Anaheim, like Edmonton, just keep giving them room.
And don't forget the Desert Dogs too.
Yeah, they're on it. Dude, don't make me start rooting for an all-central wild card.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Christine.
$1 per goal. Thank you, Christine. Appreciate it, my dear. Thank you very much for that. All right, continuing on. Buffalo 3, Red Wings 1. No, Pominville didn't add another one. Dang it. But Casey Mittelstadt, Connor Sherry, and Kyle Okposer did as the Wings go down to 21-27-7. In New Jersey, Minnesota 4, Devils 2, Parisi, Foligno, Erickson, Ek, and Kunin with the goals for the Wild. Corey Schneider loses again. In Brooklyn, Islanders 4, Avalanche 3 in overtime. Pulock gets two goals, including the game-winning goal and the one that not quite tied it up. But the Islanders are continuing on a roll. Tavares who, as they get to 70 points on the campaign.
And it must be a day that ends in Y because the Anaheim Ducks have lost a game.
That's right. They've won twice in the last 54 days, folks. Flyers 6, Ducks 2. Couturier, Raffle, Veroni, Lindholm, Nolan Patrick, Konechny, with all those goals. Adam Henrique is pretty much saying this season, it's over.
Oh, it is so over. I mean, dude, I'd be surprised if Gibson plays another game this season.
Why would you at this point, like, I don't, John Gibson has covered the flaws for this team for so long. And then I think that he was probably, you have to wonder if he was hurt before he finally left that game with the way he had played kind of in like, in
the All-Star game. You mean the All-Star game?
Well, the All-Star game, he looked like he was playing to not get hurt, right? Like he wasn't really.
How'd that work out?
Yeah. Well, clearly, which makes you wonder if he was already hurt going into it. But then the games after, I mean, you have to wonder if he was trying to play through something. And then by the end of that one game, by the end of the game against Senators, he's just like, no, I'm done. It's scary for them. It's unfortunate for Gibson. Cause I think Gibson's one of the best goalies in the league, that the team in front of him is just such crap.
And Bob Murray pretty much laid his bed with keeping Carlisle around, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if a different coach is going to do much more with this roster than, like, I don't think Randy Carlisle's a good coach, to be completely honest. But this Ducks team has played over its head for a while now, and it just feels like it's finally just the stars have aligned. They've kind of come back to where they should be. I don't know. Like, I don't think Carlisle's a good coach. I just don't know who you bring in that's going to get much different results. Like, you know, if you bring in a new coach, are they going to make Corey Perry look like Corey Perry should at this point? Or is Corey Perry just going to continue to be the Corey Perry we know and love today? I don't know if a coaching is really going to fix anything there. I feel like it's a lot like Edmonton where, yeah, you can change the coach, but so you change the captain of the sinking ship. Good. Great. Ship's still sinking.
Keep circling the drain, boys, because I plan on going on March 22nd, and I haven't bought a ticket yet, and I just want to see those prices keep going further and further down. More money to spend on beer at Honda Center, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Hey, now, four paws up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Another five. Let's continue on with the wraparound. Blues 3, Predators 2. To talk about another team that's been trying to get their way back into the playoffs. Tarasenko, his 19th done, and McEachern each going in goals for the Blues. Ekholm and Johansson, your goal scorers for the Predators.
Oh, Laurel. Laurel's given up on trying to get Super Chat to work, but just know that she was going to send $3,000 had it worked. We appreciate the effort.
We do appreciate the effort.
Yes. Senators 5, Jets 2. Boy, howdy, what the heck happened with Winnipeg?
The Stone, Zingles, losing to the Sharks, the wheels have come off in Winnipeg.
Well, they haven't been on for Patrick Laine in quite some time, for that matter. An update from Vancouver. The Canucks now have a 2-1 lead. So thank you, Canucks. 7:02 left in the first period there. Sens, they're trying to finally destroy the Colorado Avalanche chances at getting Jack Hughes, for sure. In Glendale, the Desert Dogs 3, Stars 2. Stars tried to make a game of it late, but it wasn't enough. Goligowski, Galchenyuk twice get the goals for the Desert Dogs. And the Desert Dogs hanging on for a playoff spot. Also, Maple Leafs 4, Canadiens 3. John Tavares, gets his 33rd of the season as the game winner at 2:17 of overtime. Janssen, Zaitsev, and Nylander, the goals for the Leafs. Montreal, with Carey Price in net, Shaw, Tatar, and Gallagher scored for the Canadiens. And in a shocker, the Lightning won.
Oh, yeah.
5-4 over the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Lightning get to their 40th win of the season. Vasilevsky, you know, we were originally talking about, you know, Gibson getting the Vezina. Does Vasilevsky get it? I mean, wow. What he's done for Tampa is big. And then finally, Panthers 5, Capitals 4 in overtime.
Former Sharks alert! Shark for 90 minutes, Mike Hoffman.
Yes, gets the overtime game winner on the power play at 1:31 of overtime.
Oh, Mike Hoffman. I will remember we you. Pour one out in your honor.
Future Panthers backup Roberto Luongo gets the victory in this one. Braden Holtby the loss. And in action yesterday, the San Jose Barracuda lose to Jay Woodcroft's Bakersfield Condors 3-1. The lone goal from the Sharks comes from Antti Suomela, his third of the season. Joseph Cornash, in a 22-save effort, does not get the victory there, as Bakersfield's been on a really good run lately.
I don't know. It, good for you. But I mean, the Cuda 5-5 over their last 10. I'd like to see them put together a bit of a streak. They have lost their last two. Dude, the Condors, are you kidding me? 10-0 over their last 10. They are destroying it. Good news though, Suomela, after like scoring in his first game, then kind of lulled, has 4 points in the last five games. So, or actually, it might be 5 points in his last five games. I think it's like a goal and 4 assists. So, I mean, Suomela coming around. Alex True has taken over the points lead from Perron. So, some fun happening there. But, God damn, boys, let's get back on that streak.
Yeah, well, and the Condors with 11 in a row, actually.
Yeah, so.
That's just silly.
Cornosh, right? Keep doing what you doing. Bebo, get it together.
But Ian, let's put it this way. Could this be making a run for Jay Woodcroft to become the coach of the Oilers? Or is that a little too much for Todd McClellan?
No, I think Jay Woodcroft, I mean, you know, he basically survived that whole assistant coaching purge by getting that job. If he didn't take that job, he was probably not going to be coaching, at least, you know, I don't think he'd be head coaching anywhere right now. I don't think so. I think Edmonton, they're going to probably look for a guy, like they're going to look for probably a more seasoned guy, I think. And I wouldn't rule out them, you know, bringing back Hitchcock next year, because I think Hitchcock, this again, you just change the captain on the ship that's sinking. The ship's still sinking. It doesn't really matter who the captain is. I wouldn't be shocked to see them bring back Hitchcock next year. I guess it all really depends. I mean, they got to figure out who their GM is first and then kind of let everything kind of go from there, in my opinion. But I wouldn't be shocked to see Hitchcock back there next year.
Well, when we talked to Remenda about it, he had said that the, you know, that they McClellan and company kind of pushed Woodcroft to take that gig because it's kind of like, you know, you got to take your own bench at some point.
Yeah.
Why not now? You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and good for him because he's still working and Todd isn't. So.
Yes, but hey, we talked about Mike Hoffman. He will be here March 14th at SAP. I look forward to the tribute video that happens. For that, it's going to be spectacular. I also assume that's probably the night that Erik Karlsson will return,
and maybe Melker Karlsson.
Yeah, that too.
That'd be nice.
And riding Chimik and whoever else is on the day-to-day list.
Well, I mean, Radil a healthy scratch, which I was actually a little surprised about, to be honest. But you know, that's the other thing too. Is I'm kind of wondering, like, this recent call, I mean, if Radil is a healthy scratch, now granted, he was like lights out. He was one of those guys where he showed a lot for a few games and then started to, you know, as a lot of guys do, they kind of diminish under, you know, after a few games. It's kind of like, yeah, that's unsustainable, as we like to use here. So I guess maybe it's kind of like, well, let's give Gambrell a look. And if he works out well, then, hey, that's a piece that we have going forward towards the playoffs. If he's marginal or whatever, well, then he's a piece that we can, you know, trade, you know, we're gonna showcase him a little bit. He's a piece that maybe we can trade to get somebody else, like we did with Eric Fair or who was the cat in 2016? The fourth line, Spaulding?
Spaulding,
yeah. So maybe it's, you know, something like that. Gotta be funny to get Eric Fair back, but I digress.
Anywho. Yeah. I mean, I think that I've been convinced that probably there is something to the idea that Gambrell could be traded, and that's the reason they brought him up. Maybe a showcase a little bit, since he had found his game a little bit, and he seems like he's playing with a lot more confidence that he right now than he did when he played earlier in the season. And which is good. I mean, that's, you know, that's what the AHL's for. It's for, you know, you get to find your legs a little bit, either, you know, coming from junior, coming from college, whatever. But yeah, so, I mean, I'm kind of convinced that, he could be a piece that gets moved at the deadline. I don't love that idea, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Douchebag Sam Bennett from the Flames has tied up that game. So it's 2-2.
Jerk.
Yeah.
And the Golden Knights have a 2-1 lead now on Columbus.
No, excellent. So Vancouver comes up in two nights. The Sharks have the opportunities to sweep a Western Canada road trip. Didn't that happen like in the last season, or was that earlier this season where they swept Alberta and British Columbia over a 3-game road trip? And it was like the first time they had ever done that in franchise history.
Oh, I thought that was like a couple of seasons ago.
Oh, for some reason, I thought it was this season or last season. Well, we
got nothing.
We certainly know. Okay, I'm looking at the schedule. It wasn't this season. I want to say it was potentially last season. But anyway, it's something to go back and look at. But Vancouver, let's see here. I mean, we got to take a look and see where they're at. You know, they're nipping at the heels. See, the nice thing is, while Calgary and Vancouver are playing right now, Vancouver has a lot to play for because they're 2 points out of a wild card spot. And the problem is that the team in front of them, St. Louis, has 2 games in hand on them. So,
and they're on fire.
Yeah. So let's see here. In Vancouver, they, you know, they lost their last game in overtime to Chicago, lost versus the Capitals, lost versus the Flyers since, so 3-game losing streak since beating the Avalanche out of the All-Star break. So come on, if there's a time for you to get back to your winning ways for one night, Vancouver, let it be today.
And shall not we? Monday.
Yeah.
man. I don't know. Vancouver, like, they're just such a weird team. Like, they're having way more success than they deserve.
Well, and they started off so hot. What, if I remember correctly, at one point, Vancouver led the division.
They did.
You know, yeah, that was right around, like, I don't know, Halloween, but still. At one point, they did lead the division. So,
But they've hung in there, even though they had like a slide in November.
I think they've hung in a little. I think it's also a case of other Pacific Division teams have just, you know, you've got LA and Anaheim just, you know, falling like a meteor to earth. And then, of course, Edmonton not being able to do anything. You know, if Edmonton is the team that we expected them to be this season, they're probably the team that's ahead of Vancouver looking to, you know, make that push.
I just don't know. Like, I just like I see Vancouver as a team where it's like they could make the playoffs, but I don't think they would scare anybody.
No, no, not at all. And somebody, Sleepy, saying Gambrel was on the second power play unit tonight. Again, it's another option of showcasing him. I don't think he was on it early. I think he was on late, which why not give him a look when the game is succinctly in hand?
And,
you know, not very sharp, though.
And giving the other guys rest, for that matter. So,
yeah. Well, so, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Right. In case you missed anything, if you want to watch this again, of course, check us out on TLTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher. That includes iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and of course, smash that subscribe button. So, Vancouver next up for the Sharks. That's a Monday night game. That's a 7 o'clock game on NBC Sports California. But we put close a book on this edition tonight. And we say thank you to Mr. Ian Reed. It's good to see you, my friend.
Yeah.
Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
The people can find me on the Twitter machine at Ian Blogs Hockey. I still occasionally do this thing called Teal Tinted Glasses. I did one, I think, a week ago. You can check that out, and hoping to do one again this coming weekend. Other than that, you can find me sleeping during the day and working all night. It's generally my life now.
Well, it's good to have you on again, good sir. Appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Say hi to everybody. Mr. Strong, thank you as always. Your final thoughts and where the people can find you.
Keep it rolling, boys. Just keep it rolling. That's it. You look at it, the Sharks over, like, since that All-Star break, how much did we bitch about Martin Jones? There was a lot to lament. Since the All-Star break, I mean, a 194 save percentage, or I mean, 194 goals against save percentage, 937. And you got Dell also languishing in the like 880s. Tonight was like 937 or something, or 927, somewhere in that neighborhood. Either way, let's see the team defense get better. For the love of God, not, you know, not let so much rubber get through. But correct me if I'm wrong. Was tonight not like the third fourth consecutive game where the Sharks? No, this must have, this was third, right? Oh, wait, Arizona, Calgary. No, fourth consecutive game. The Sharks have let in two or less goals.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yep. Continue that, please.
Not the 6-6-6-6 that they had before.
That only works when you're playing Washington, people. So yeah, just. Keep doing whatever it is you're doing on defense.
Way to keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
Just continue with that team defense. Limit the amount of shots. Get some solid goaltending from the boys and keep rolling. That's my whole thing.
Playing Plastic and Braun together.
Yeah. AJ underscore Strong on Twitter, on Instagram. New Pucknologist, planning on rolling that out tomorrow evening. We're even toying with the idea of doing it live for the first time ever. So, so keep an eye out for that tomorrow evening. Look at the Teal Town USA Twitter. You might see us go live.
Will be fun to see. That'd be great. I am PuckGuy14 on Twitter and the Instagram.
We will have a contest this week too.
Hey now.
Mm-hmm.
So be on the lookout for that.
Get yourself an all-star towel.
And those were sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sweet. PuckGuy14 on the Twitter and the Instagram. We will be back with you, especially me. Monday night as the Sharks take on the Vancouver Canucks.
Guess who won't be?
But it'll be a great time no matter what. I'll tame myself as much I think as AJ Keith doesn't believe I could. But we'll be back with you until then. Was that your evil laugh? No, this is my evil laugh, Alex. There you go.
And good evening, Sharks fam.
And that's me when I have laryngitis, which AJ will never ever let go of for 4 years. But until Monday night, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal. Have a great evening, everyone.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.